It's good to see that young people at any age are still working for God and doing something for God, which confirms what I want to talk about this morning about evangelism, personal evangelism. It's wonderful when people get saved, isn't it? I had the joy last week down in the Chinese Fellowship, and Pastor Ben was preaching, and then he said, make an appeal, but he didn't make the appeal and left to come back up here. And a young man at the end of the service, as he left, came, and the other pastor there, Pastor Min, said, can you pray for this young man? He wants to give his life to Christ. And it was strange. I had to go and deliver some furniture during the week to his house, so he had the decision card and follow-up literature, which was wonderful. And the week before that, a lady was in the church, Christina, and she led her cousin to the Lord. So 2 weeks running, people have got saved, which is fantastic. And that's wonderful. And I think we should praise the Lord every time someone gets saved. And the Lord has a party up there. The angels have a party. It says for every sinner that gets saved, they rejoice because it's a miracle. And the greatest miracle you'll ever have is salvation. And I thank God for everyone here today who is born again of God's Spirit. But that's only the beginning of your Christian journey. But the greatest thing as well is that he is our Savior, he's our healer, he's our baptizer, and he's our coming King. And I believe with all the signs around that Jesus is coming soon. Amen? And we look forward to that. But before that, I believe there's a lot of work for you and I to do. And so personal evangelism has always been from the moment I got saved. And when I got filled with the Holy Spirit at the age of 13, which was a long time ago, but thank God for his grace and his mercy, they told me that the moment I came out of that meeting, it was about 10 o'clock at night, I went into the local pub and told them all to get saved. I don't remember that, but someone told me that, one of the old members in the church. Well, I'm looking at John chapter 1 this morning, and it's a fantastic, and you will recognize that things that people have prayed about, people that have sung about, and so praise God, we're all in tune with what God wants you and I to hear. And just as I speak to you, I speak to myself, because personal evangelism has been very close to us. But Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, Peter that apostle, he says this, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that is within you. Thank God we've got a hope today. Yeah. Hallelujah. We've all got a hope that one day we're going to meet Jesus face to face for eternity. But before then, we've got a lot of work to do. We've got to be prepared to give an answer. And my wife and my daughters tell me I could speak for England because he never shuts up. Even when I'm asleep, I'm talking, my wife says so. Well, we must let our light shine in the darkness, and not to be selfish, but we must be able to share what God has done for us in order that we might share it with others. The great apostle Paul said, I delivered unto you what God has given to me. And we can't give anything out to others unless God gives something to us. The vision this year is to enlarge and extend and to grow. That's the vision for the whole year that Pastor Jim has given to us. And I believe that in our personal walk with God, and particularly in evangelism, right, we have got to extend. If we want to reach our generation, and I thank God for all the young people that are here, and a lot who have just left to go and be taught again, but what a responsibility we all have. And I thank God for the families that are still here from the years when I was here and since come, because there are four generations in many of the families, which proves that what they had, they passed on to their children, who passed it on to the great-grandchildren, who have passed it on now to others. And so we thank God for that. And so I want to encourage you this morning to allow people to see your faith working before your eyes. And we all know it's difficult, we all know it's hard, but evangelism is really what we are. And what we are, and we know that we all can fail, we know that we can all can fall, but praise God, we can all overcome. So that's what we seek to do, isn't it? Like Jesus Christ. And Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Very, very old chorus, you probably don't, we don't sing it today, you might not know even the words. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. The Bible says Christ in you, the hope of glory. So it should show out in our living. And that's not easy. We all want to see the church grow. And it is growing. Amen?
Amen.
Who's building it? God is building. Jesus said, I will build my church. But you are his hands and his feet. We all want to see our church grow. And we want to see our family one for Jesus, don't we? You don't want to be selfish and say, well, Lord, take me to glory. See, if Jesus wanted you to do that, the moment you got a Christian, you'd die. Well, you should die anyway to the flesh, but alive in God. But we've got to live out our life in every day. We all want to see our friends one for Jesus. I'm sure everybody here this morning has got at least one friend. But we don't only want to see new medical growth. And again, the Lord is interested in individuals. But we don't just want to see numerical growth, but we want to see ourselves stepping out in faith to give us a boldness. You know, with that chorus we sung about witnessing in the street and to our families. God wants us to do that. God is interested in growth. Always. People say, oh, Pastor, it's not about numbers. Of course it's not about numbers. But, you know, you can talk to these two chairs here and other empty chairs. And, well, they're not going to answer you. You're going to have no problem with that chair unless it's broken and you'll fall off it. So why be stupid to sit on it in the first place? And so God is interested in people. He's interested in multiplication. He's interested in addition. The only thing he's not interested in is division within the church, only if it is to divide, to multiply. And so God is interested in growth. And when you think of creation, and he spoke the word, and that's important. The Bible says he called them, and he looked for people to help him. And at the beginning of his ministry, at the age of 30, he trained and taught before, but at the age of 30, he started his public ministry. He confounded people when he was at the age of 12. It's like our students here, all these educated students. And Jesus was 12 and he was mesmerized. They were mesmerized by what they heard from him. But he wanted to train them. And he called Matthew, who was sitting at the receipt of custom. He called Peter, James, and John, who were fishermen, and they came. And everyone that Jesus called was working. They were busy at their jobs, at their occupation. And Jesus calls busy people. Hallelujah. I'm sure we're all busy during the week. Everybody tells me, I'm busy, Pastor, I'm busy, I'm doing this. Yes, we're all doing something, but we need to be busy in our witnessing. And Jesus said, look, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to receive power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, ye shall be my witnesses all over the place, in Jerusalem, Judea. And we heard words about that the other week by another preacher, that Jerusalem is at home, and then Judea is your neighbors, and so on to the whole world. And Jesus said, you're going to receive power. You can't do it on your own. And those 12, I know one failed at the end, and they brought another one, Matthias the 13th. But those disciples, like Peter, became strong, and that 12 became 120. In the upper room. Even Mary was there, the mother of Jesus, in the upper room. Hallelujah, Pentecostal Catholic, if you want. They were there in the upper room, 120. But 120, Peter preached a sermon, and there was 3,000 people saved. Hallelujah. How about preaching a sermon like that? Eh? Fantastic. 3,000 got saved. You imagine now if 3,000 got saved, next Sunday, by gum, you could look after all you mathematicians. You worked out how many people you've got to look after. But that's what it would mean afterwards. And 3,000, then it says whole cities were saved. And it said they turned the world upside down. Just imagine what we're going to do, what you can do, what I can do. We can turn the world, put it up the right way. It's upside down again, isn't it? So we've got to go and reverse the situation. So think about the church today. Think about the church today. How many empty churches or churches that have been turned into a warehouse? How many are being knocked down? How many they are saying there will be no Methodist church in the year 2040? The statistics say that there will be no church, Christian church, on a Sunday. We've moved from Sunday night and Sunday morning. Things have changed. And oh, praise God, we thank God for what is happening in our church. And so we suddenly find that there are great difficulties and problems within the world. We find that the other nations of the world have taken over different things. It's okay. I'm looking now for my next bit, and it is this. After you've looked at the church, I want to give an illustration. So I want 10 people quickly to come to the platform. You haven't got to do a lot. Just come. 10. 10 people. Thank you. 1, 2. Oh, well done, Alice. One. That was a good run, that was. 10. Come on, count 10. Good. Okay, I'm going to move out of the way. That's why I'm thinking. Lovely to see you all. Give them a clap. Come on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I want two more. Oh, well done, that's Jennifer. Well done. They're coming. No more. Thank you. Sorry. For offering. Thank you for offering. The Lord will bless you. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. 10. Little. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Sorry, brother. Got to sit down. Good discretion. See? This. Yeah, no, you better come back, yeah. Oh. The lesson today, quickly, I never get through my sermon. Oh, come on. Oh. Now you know why I became a minister and not a university graduate. 10 little Christians standing in a line. One disliked the pastor. Then there were 9. Oh. 9 little Christians stayed up very late. One slept in on Sunday. Then there was 8. You nearly did. You're honest. Eight little Christians on their way to heaven. One took the low road, then there were seven. Seven little Christians chirping like chicks. On the next page. One disliked the music, then there were six. Six little Christians seemed very much alive, but the one lost interest, then there were five. Five little Christians pulling for heaven's shore, but one stopped to rest. Then there were four. Four little Christians, each busy as a bee. One got his feelings hurt. Then there were three. Then three little Christians knew what to do. One joined the sports crowd. Then there were two. Stoke City won last night. Two little Christians, our rhyme is nearly done, differed with each other. Then there was one. How can you fall out together? One little Christian can't do much, 'tis true. Brought his friend to Bible study. Then there were two. So go and get a friend. The two earnest Christians each brought one more. Just go and find somebody else, that's it. Go and find someone else. That doubled their number. Then there were four. Four sincere Christian workers worked early and late. Each one won another. Then there were eight. Wonderful. Eight little Christians, if they doubled before, in just a few short weeks, goodness gracious, they would have 1,024. Wow. Okay, you can all sit down. You just imagine if you carried on multiplying that in the world today would have been absolutely known by Jesus. Fantastic, isn't it? What could happen if everyone turned around to be a fantastic witness? In John chapter 1, there came a man called John the Baptist. And John was a voice. He was a voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." We live in a barren Christian society. And if we think about that, God has given each one of us, and our brother prayed over here in his last one in the prayer, God has given us ears to hear, a voice to speak, and he's given us eyes to see. And John the Baptist was one of those. He came to be a witness. That was his job. He was related to Jesus, and he came to prepare the way, the forerunner of Jesus. And he came with a message, and he baptized people. They were baptized, and he was a witness and preached. And if you look in John chapter 1, time and time again, from the verse 29 on, it says, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. He was out there the next day. You and I, by God's grace, will be out tomorrow, the next day, and the day after, the next day. Because when you become a Christian, it means a daily walk with God. We're not a Christian just on a Sunday because we go to church. We're not just a Christian because we do good works. We are to do good works. It says that they will see your good works and glorify God. And people will be blessed by what you do. And everything you do as a worker or as a student or mother, everyone works. You say, oh, no, they don't. They're on the dole. No, but it doesn't mean to say they don't do anything. There are lots of people who do things. So whatever we do, we've got to use it. And we walk with Jesus on a daily walk. And one day, John saw Jesus coming. And John said, behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Been singing about that today. How authoritative your voice is. How important your voice is. Behold the Lamb of God. And there were two of his disciples standing by. And they heard it. They heard John. It says they overheard. In other words, they were eavesdropping. Have you ever walked past and you've seen a group of four people and you sidle up by the side? I saw it yesterday when we were down the selling stuff down the other road, down into Cornerstone. And I tried to talk to someone and four people kept on walking in. I thought, I can't talk in private here. But then, you know, you've done it. You've eavesdropped. Don't tell me you've never eavesdropped anybody. You're always, you know, we used to, when I was in charge, there was elders and deacons. You know, there's elders and leaders now. And one day I walked in, Michelle, pastor, and others, Pastor Praveen, latest, all the latest leaders, in that they were all there. And a couple of other people that, and they were like that. They got their arms around one another. Thought, well, that's interesting. I better get up a bit closer and see. You see, I thought they were talking about me. But they weren't. They were praying. But eavesdropping. You do it on a bus. My mother will talk to everybody. She talked to everybody on the bus. Do you know, she'd get on the bus in London, in Clapham, southwest London. She'd go to Clapham Common, get the underground. And then she'd go all the way to North London to take the Elam Evangel. You won't know that magazine, it's a direction today. And give them out. And it invites you to the church in Clapham. I said, Mother, what are you doing? She said, well, they can still read it. Of course they can still read it, but they're not going to come from Clapham all the way over and from the North London and the rest of it. But she loved going on the underground and stuff like that. But that was my mother. I think I've got some of her thoughts, you know, but amazing. Yeah, but a witness is talking. And it's just fantastic when people begin to do this and be a witness. And they overheard the Lamb of God. And as Jesus passed by, they heard it. And they went up to him. And Jesus turned to them. I'm so glad that Jesus often stood still to listen. He also stood still. And he turned to them and said, what do you want? What are you doing? They were following him. And they said, well, where do you live? And Jesus said, come and see. And this is a pattern. And this is the thing I'm going to tell you about just now for 5 minutes. It's a pattern. you're here. Someone says to you something, or you hear something, and sometimes, you know, they'll say something, and I'll turn it around. You see, I'm a football supporter, so if they said something about Stoke, I say, that was great, that was fantastic. But also, if they lost, they would be miserable today, because they know they're on the verge of going down. I think they'd be safe now. But you can talk about, I said, if I just lived for football, I'd be most miserable. Because you come home, I can say kick the cat, but I haven't got a cat, so you're okay. So don't come and say, oh, he's cruel. No, no, but whatever you say, you can turn it around. I thank God that I've got a goal in life. Hallelujah. I know that we're on the winning side. Amen. And you can turn everything around, whether you're a student or what. And every one of us can do it where you are. Thank God for the students we've got here. Now, if I went out now and did what we did this morning, we could have a dozen students here. Week after, you could have 24 students here. Can you see what I'm trying to say? In our heart. And we're called to be a witness. You haven't got to preach. All they said was, you know, here we are. We want to come. And they were. Every day we have to. So they heard, they saw, and they followed. And they followed Jesus. They heard him. They did it. Followed him. Come and see. And all you've got to do is say, why don't you come next Sunday? That's all. You want to see those fantastic looking young ladies in the church. And look at those old men that we've got. Oh, you know what I mean? What about a worship group? I thank God if you think we are fortunate here. I know some churches and they're only open once a week. You've got, I was going to say, Sunshine Corner, you've got the children's church, the children, the little fish, big fish. You know, you've got the youth, you've got the house groups, you've got the youth group going. And you've got so many. You've got your prayer going, your prayer groups and everything else and the Sunday and the preaching and all the activities that are being planned. And all you've got to do is when you say, oh, we've got a special on next Sunday. You know, when everyone comes, all the church comes with the, all our fellowships, all the one church, the Indian Food, Pastor Praveen, the Chinese Fellowship. When we're all here, we can't get in, can we? That causes a problem, I know. But you could build another big church. Or you could subdivide. It's amazing what you can do. You can always go back to a Sunday, Saturday night, Sunday night or whatever. Who knows? I don't know. I'm not in charge. God is in charge. But if we're really interested in what's in, because when you think after a couple of years, those students go. We have to wait for other students to come. Isn't that right? It's a fact. And there are people who have just died. And they've gone to glory. Now they don't want to come back. Not yet. But you know what I mean? There are people who do fall out. If you look at that little jingle that we read earlier, those things are true in life. Oh, one's got going football. How many of our members have taken their children to a football match this morning? Or whatever. I'm not knocking those things. I'm just saying it's a reality. If we were to rely on all that, or people, fortunately, we don't get many who fall out. They might fall out with me, but they don't fall out with Pastor Jim or anybody else. We don't want them to. Want multiplication. But you have to realize that with age and time, people won't come back. They'll go to glory. And you wouldn't want them to get back. So you have to replace those. Every chair you have to replace. Because, you know, what happens then, people do like a change. They might go back to where they got married on to a service, or they might go somewhere else. So, you know, all of those type of things. And so they went away. The response was great because they says that they not only went back, they heard, they saw, and they stayed. And that's the secret. Three words. I was going to put them all on computer, but didn't have time. They heard, they saw, and they stayed. That's the result. That's what you want to see. People coming and they like the chit-chat. They like the tea and the coffee and these cakes you're going to buy. You'll enjoy them because you're always eating here, you know, anywhere, because you love your food. But that attracts them. So you can say to them, why don't you come? Come and see. Come and see. And if you think that was something, look what happened. They went, they saw, and they stayed. And 7 hours later, after Jesus had finished talking, they were hungry and he fed them. You see, it is not the pastor's job to bring everybody to church. It's yours and mine. It's God, and it's the church's responsibility to build them, to give them stuff. And they're doing that with all the courses that they've got, house groups, etc., building the church. So you've got to teach them. I told someone yesterday, I said, now you've got a baby, you've got to teach them and that, spend time with them. And I read something in the Word for today, and it said that a child will pick up everything, and that's why with the Lennox, it talks about the voices. They can understand all the ma, 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 until they get older, then that goes. I'm still trying to learn Greek now at 80. So give up, Dave, give up. Well, don't want to keep on trying, you know. They just laugh at you. That's okay. You're at that age now where you say, Galaspera, Esigala. Yeah, you see, you thought I didn't know any. But with a wife who's been married 57 years, it's not a lot. But praise God, God is good. What happened? Later on, Jesus sees Nathanael and says, I saw you under the tree. I saw you. He said, how did you see me? You see, there was a word of knowledge there. And in witnessing, you can use the word of knowledge. Hi, I'm Malcolm. Are you okay?
Yes.
Are you feeling better?
Yes, thank you.
That's all it takes. So fancy, I know his name. That's why I picked on him. Right? You are cheating with witnessing, personal witnessing. It's great fun. And you know what I mean? And I said, well, and he's going to go away saying, I'm ever so pleased. Do you know who I saw? He remembered my name. And he asked how I was. But at Khalid, he said, oh, I'm glad I saw you. You still at where you are, at UCB. Yeah, good. Are you coming on Sunday? Of course he'd say, yes, I'm doing the sound. And that's all it takes. You haven't got to preach at them. If it opens up, and you know, a lady came in yesterday, bought something. She says, are you still selling? I said, yeah. Oh, she said, oh, I thought you'd packed up. I thought you'd given up. And she said, how are you? And we had a conversation. And that's all you have to ask, Nathanael. But the biggest, greatest thing out of John, I must finish, I think, Andrew, he's mentioned. He was one of the two. And Andrew brought his brother, Peter. You only hear about Andrew once more when he brought Greeks. These Greek people came up to Andrew and said, we would see Jesus. That's what it said there in the choruses. Seeing Jesus. We would see Jesus. He said, come and see. And they came. And he brought them. The only other time Andrew witnessed was to a little boy who said, can I be your lunch, please? And give it to Jesus. And Jesus multiplied it. See, multiplication was there again. And when you look all through, and if you look, go into all the chapters of John, and this is important, read the word if you want to do your work, personal evangelism. Because in John chapter 1, it's all there. And then Peter preached 3,000 and got saved. Didn't hear much more about Andrew. So it doesn't matter about David Williams or anybody else. It's Jesus. Mention Jesus. You don't know. Billy Graham went to a meeting. He was late. He went to a meeting. The preacher wasn't there. Someone stepped in and gave a word. and Billy Graham got saved. Look what he has done. And in London later on next month, they're celebrating 150 years or something of evangelism and stuff that Billy Graham was doing in the Billy Graham organization. You don't know who the person you bring to church will win more people for Jesus than you. But praise God, it doesn't matter. Because once you get to glory, it's God who gets the glory. It's God who gets the honor and God who gets the praise. And it's just two slides I want you to look at. That's all. That's all I had time. I rang Michelle last night and said, stick them on for me in the morning. Oh, it's the wrong one. The other one first. I know what my family are laughing at. I asked Maria yesterday, Maria, my daughter, where have you seen that picture? Now, can you see the relevance? As you all know, Michelle said, oh, that's the fish doing the miracle with the disciples. But all at the back there, they're not fish. They're people's faces. Jesus said to Peter, from henceforth, because after Jesus had died, Peter said, let's go fishing. And some of the disciples said, we'll go with you. Jesus called Peter, he got him saved. Didn't want him going back fishing. He said, I will make you now, I will make you a fisher of men. And when you get saved, whatever your job is, you're going to make you. I'll make you. It's God who's made me what I am. It's God who's made you who you are. And with all your faults and what, and Peter let him down badly. But praise God, when he got filled with the Holy Spirit, he was blessed. And the next one is my mother-in-law who died at 92, never stopped talking. Next slide, please. Ah, that was her clock. So I moved the hand because she couldn't move it anymore because she's in glory. So that's her clock. And do you know where they are, those two pictures? I wake up in the morning and it's there on the wall. Tommy Farrell gave me that, Sandra gave me that 5 years ago, and Tommy died. He said, I want you to have his picture. And I've kept that. It's 1 minute to 12, and that's all perhaps we may have, 1 minute to live. Who knows? We don't know what a day may bring forth. We've got today. Maybe witness, because we haven't got much time, because I believe God's coming, Jesus is coming back again. So the Lord bless you in your personal witnessing. Enjoy it. You can't enjoy it. I know that a lot of the people go down to Newcastle. I used to go down in winter and summer with them. But, you know, praise God. Keep on. Just a smile. Just whatever. And try to help. Bring your family. Bring others. And who knows? Praise God. Amen.